when I started chatting with Max Armstrong on this show last year, I made a promise to myself not to bother him too much because he's a busy guy and just talk to him once a month. But even though we talked to him last week, I saw two stories and I had to get him on the line. Max, I appreciate you giving me a little extra bonus time here.
Hey, John, you never bother me. It's a privilege to be on with you. You're such a great interviewer. You ask the right questions, and I really, really enjoy it. I hope you can tell.
Checks in the mail. I appreciate that, Max, for saying so. So there's a Chicago startup that is starting to try and make the reality of self-driving tractors a thing. And I just wanted to know, because I imagine that, you know, other big tractor manufacturers are eyeing this potentially as well. No one wants to miss this. What do farmers think about this? How soon could this be a reality?
You know, some farmers will tell you it can't come soon enough. I mean, labor challenges in agriculture are very substantial, just as they are in many industries right now. But it's a real problem for many of our folks out in the countryside to get somebody on a tractor to do the work that needs to be done. And if you can do this with autonomy, you know, we've had the ability to help steer equipment for many years now, actually. But you know, come out to the end of the road, come to the end of the field, and the operator has to pay attention, make the turn at the end, and then it locks up again and goes on across the field on its own. With the autonomous tractor being developed by Sabanto, you wouldn't have to do that. You wouldn't have to turn it on the end.
Is there worry that this could reduce the number of agricultural jobs out there? I mean, I know farmers are trying to pinch pennies anywhere they can, and if they maybe can hire one or less two people, I mean, they're businessmen and women at the end of the day, I get it. But is there any concern that this could end up eliminating a lot of jobs in the industry?
Not at all. We just don't have enough people to do the job.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it depends on what area of agriculture you're talking about, John. But a friend of mine in North Carolina who raises a variety of crops, including cucumbers and sweet potatoes, he has to bring in about 30 workers every year from Mexico. He pays them exceedingly well compared to what they would make back home. They'll make more in a day from him and more in an hour from him than they would make in an entire day. Well, but he needs them desperately through the H-2A program. He has to have these workers, as do some of our folks here in the Chicago area. Now, the field crops, it's a challenge, too, where Sabanto is going to be applying its skills out in corn and soybean fields of the Midwest. You can't get enough people out there when you really need them. And that's part of the equation, too, John. I don't think this gets addressed too much, is the fact that time is of the essence. You have to have these operators, you know, when you can get into the field. It's a very narrow window quite often to plant in the spring, and we're going to see that this year according to the weather forecast. And, you know, you've got to harvest when the weather allows in the fall. So the autonomous tractor may help some growers with that. These are low horsepower tractors, by the way. They're not big ones.
Right. And, I mean, if they're autonomous, I mean, could you in theory run them at night? Does the harvest happen at night? Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so it extends your day. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, you could do that. You know, and, you know, there have been safety concerns, but obviously Sabanto is working to address these out in the field. You know, they've been testing these tractors, actually, in the Chicago area. I don't know if I told you about this. I thought I had mentioned this to you, but I want to say it was about 2 or 3 years ago. Sabanto was testing a tractor somewhere in McHenry County, and there was nobody in the seat. And people kept calling the police department saying, hey, there's a tractor out here, and a farmer's falling off the tractor. That wasn't it at all.
Wow. You know, and Max, this is why I love chatting with you, because I was so convinced you'd come on and say, no, real farmers drive their own tractors. I don't know why I thought that. I'm sure there is a nostalgic feeling about driving a tractor, but at the end of the day, these are business folks that are trying to do the best they can out there.
John, maybe 15 years ago, a lot of my farmer friends would say, you know, I know how to drive a tractor. You know, it's not going to be a problem. The reality is that the ability for that tractor now to steer itself over much of that field, and Sabanto is going to make it, you know, for the entire field, but the ability now for the farmer to sit in that cab and for him or her to do some other things while the tractor or combine is going across the field relieves pressure on them. It actually, some will tell you, as they've told me, it's improved their marriages because they come home at the end of the day in a better mood. They're not so stressed. They don't have that back pressure. They've been able to do some things in that cab other than drive that machine. And they would acknowledge at the end of the day, John, they're not nearly as accurate as that machine is, the GPS taking it across the field.
Yeah, you bet, and saving marriages, too. Well, that's good. We'll bring you back for my other program, Let's Get Legal About Divorces, and we can do farmer divorce rates and twist this story one more way. Yeah, there you go. One other story I saw, you know, obviously, and egg prices I've seen have come down in the last couple days, but, you know, it's a very volatile thing, and we had the flu, of course, that affected so many chickens and such. But egg prices obviously are super high, but a lot of people have started doing backyard chicken farming. And I've seen this even in the city. I know each municipality has their own rules and regulations. Do you have any thoughts on someone if they're thinking, I want to give this a shot, if they don't really have the background for it?
Give it a lot of thought. Give it a lot of thought. I mean, it's going to wind up being far more labor intensive and more demanding of you than you ever imagined. And somewhere down the road, a few months or maybe a couple of years, you're going to say, no, I'm going to go back to the Jewel and buy these things again. We've got it in the hands of commercial producers for good reason. Now, if you want to use it as instructional for your kids, and, you know, maybe it's a 4-H project for them, you know, I have no problems with chickens under the porch. But, you know, and listen, you know, we've had chickens in Chicago. Seriously, there have been, in certain communities, people have been raising chickens for 40 years. I mean, I remember this, you know.
Right.
But obviously there's been this push, and some cities such as Madison, Wisconsin, and others have passed ordinances to allow people to do this. Now, these backyard flocks are a concern because they can harbor disease and spread disease and be a problem for the big commercial producers.
Right. And as you're saying, I mean, think long and hard. You got to build this stuff. You got to purchase this stuff. The point at which you make money or save money on eggs, by the time you get it up and running, I imagine these egg prices are going to modulate to the point where your return isn't there. Again, not to say that there aren't positive reasons to do it, but if it's to save money, I don't know if you're in for the long haul there.
Yeah, it's like the backyard garden in the summertime.
Yep.
That's good recreation. You know, and if you can do it as a community activity or a family activity, it's a wonderful thing. But just bear in mind that there is effort involved. You're going to have your feed source. You're going to have to keep the chickens contained somehow. And you've got to go out there and take care of them. You go out there and harvest the eggs every day.
Yeah.
I remember what that was like as a kid. You know, we were into free range before it was fashionable. You know, if you dropped your chewing gum, you didn't pick it up out in the chicken box.
Oh, that's great, Max. I really appreciate your time. And I just want to also comment. We talked last time. It was last week or the week before, and you talked about China and the general's comments. And I just got to say, as soon as I heard about that balloon, I was thinking about our conversation, Max. And we'll leave that for another day, but I'm sure you had a similar reaction when you heard about that.
We're watching them so closely. They're a major agriculture customer for us, and they just took in their first corn shipment from Brazil in the past few days. So they're turning to another supplier to get their corn, and we need to watch them. There's no doubt about that. That country over there impacts us in so many ways.
100%. Max Armstrong, it's always good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon, my friend.
Take care, John. See you soon, bud.